Matthew 24. Some of the songs talk about Jesus coming in the morning, some golden daybreak, some at midnight. Well, it's going to be true of people all over the world because of different time zones. So when the Lord comes, it is going to be in the middle of the night someplace, and other places it's going to be day, in the morning, evening. So we just need to be ready. And we're talking about the end is coming. Matthew 24 and verse 32. Matthew 24 and verse 32. And Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Matthew 24 and verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Well, what are we talking about? Well, back up to verse 27. Verse 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of who? The Son of Man be. It's going to be fast as lightning, as fast as light. So this is the fifth part of this message series on dealing with the end is coming. And this one is talking about buying and selling. But, well, just as a reminder, what are we talking about? The end is coming. We're talking about the rapture is coming, the catching away of the saints. Notice with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We just sang a song that was interesting. That person, I think, the one who wrote the music to that, went to be with the Lord in the, like, was it 1907? And they're talking about, oh, to not have to die, to be caught up. Well, they were talking about what we're looking at here. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are what? Alive and remain, shall be what? Caught up together with them. In where? The clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So this is what we're talking about, the rapture. The word rapture doesn't appear, but this is the event. The rapture means the catching away. So that's why we call it the rapture. The root of that word is catching away. So this is what we're talking about, the catching away of the saints. After that, the tribulation period starts, which we've looked at, 7 years of great trial on this earth. And at the end of that, the Lord comes back with his saints to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. All of the unsaved who have come through the tribulation period are cast into hell. Only saved people enter the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. Jesus rules and reigns from Jerusalem. On earth, they're going to call him Wonderful, Isaiah 9:6. And at the end of that 1,000 years, he releases Satan from being bound. He goes out to deceive the nations, and he'll deceive the nations as the sand of the sea. It's just hard to imagine, isn't it? Living under perfect rule with the Son of God, they'll turn against him as the sand of the sea and follow Satan, and then we'll be judge the great white throne judgment at the end. After Satan is cast in the lake of fire, the lost of all ages will be brought up before God and judged and then cast into hell. But then the eternal state, God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. So those are the things that we have been looking at here in this series of messages. But God doesn't want to have to judge people. Notice in Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3. God does not want to have to judge people. When I started Bible college, one of my professors said, and he's the only one that ever said this, but he said, I grade on a curve. He says, some of you are going to pass and some of you are going to fail. And I thought, what kind of a teacher is that? I thought teachers wanted everyone to pass. Evidently, that wasn't in his playbook. But Amos 3, God wants everyone ready. Amos 3, 7. The Bible says, surely the Lord God will do nothing but he what? Revealeth his secret unto who? His servants, the prophets. God does not want to catch people off guard. He wants everyone to be prepared. He wants everyone to be saved. He doesn't want to come back and judge. You know, right now we're playing this game with Russia and Ukraine and, you know, are they going to attack or are they not? Unless I missed the news. Did I miss the news this morning? Okay. Back and forth, you know, everything's secret. Are they going to? Are they not going to? Notice in Ezekiel chapter 33, God does not want to catch people off guard. That's why he gave his word, the scriptures, the Bible. He doesn't want people to be caught off guard. Ezekiel 33:11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in what? The death of the wicked, but that the wicked what? Turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? So that is why God gave his secret to the prophets to prophesy so that people, all people would be prepared. Notice in Mark 13. Now, I don't know if you're mischievous or not, and if you like to scare or surprise people. I see that up in Canada, one of the leaders of the protest, actually it was a woman, and she was charged with mischief. I don't know what exactly that means. As far as fines, jail time, I don't know, but that's what they said she was charged with, was mischief. Mark 13:34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Well, all of those times, it's going to be some of those times when he comes for different people in the world. Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. And what is that? Watch. So that's what God wants us to do, is be watching. Now, I see all these things happening that show that the end is coming. Remember, the rapture, the tribulation period, the millennium. Those things are what we're talking about. Are coming. Well, we've looked at a famine of the Word of God is coming. The rise of sodomy is coming. The charismatic movement, preparing people to look to signs instead of the Word of God, that's coming. And so number four today, control over buying and selling. Control over buying and selling. Look at Revelation 13. We can see this happening. Should we be surprised? No, God told us this is going to come. This week, someone was talking in a group of people, and he said, I lost $5,000 last month, I guess in his retirement fund, $5,000. He said another month he made more than $5,000 a month, but last month he lost $5,000. Well, what's going to happen with this buying and selling? Revelation 13:16. And he causeth all, Now, the he here is the Antichrist. He's coming. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might what?
Buy or sell,
save he that had what?
The mark
or the what?
The name of the beast
or the what?
Number of his name.
So the Antichrist is coming. He's going to make it so no one can buy or sell unless they have something in their hand or on their forehead, a mark. And it has to be his mark or his name, or his number. Now we know his number, verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, 60, a score is 20, so 20s is 60, so it's 666. That's his number, but we don't know his name, and we don't know his mark. Now, I've had people write in saying they had a tattoo. In fact, some people have even had 666 put tattooed on them. And they're asking a question, does this mean that I can't get saved? Does this mean, you know, I've given myself to the beast? I have his mark. Well, no, we encourage people to not get tattooed. But that isn't the beast mark, because it's going to have to be something that can't be counterfeited. You know, right now you can see these little, at first it was barcodes, and now you'll see these little squares that you can, with your phone, will read those little squares with all those dots and blobs in it. Somehow in the Antichrist name or his mark or his number, there's going to have to be something like that, scannable or something, some way to prove that it's the genuine name or number or mark. So you're talking about the mark. What is a mark? Well, you know, with Nike, you know, you might have a cap that says Nike, or you might have a cap just with the check mark on it. Well, people understand that's Nike. So I don't know what his mark is going to be. No one knows what it's going to be. We don't know his name. Is the Antichrist alive right now? He may very well be alive right now. I would say yes, but I could be wrong. We just sang about the Lord's return, and we're talking about 1907, something like that. So it looks like it's here, but we've just got to be prepared. So this is coming. Now, so what should we do? How are we going to get by? Should we pull all of our money out of the bank? Back, I don't know, maybe 12 years ago, 12 to 16 years ago, maybe, there was a time in our country that was looking kind of like now, and there was a man who had a good deal of money, and he decided, I don't trust the bank. And so he dug next to his basement and had a big vault put in there and knocked a hole through his basement and then covered the vault up with dirt. And he pulled all of his money out of the bank and put it in the vault. Well, I guess that's okay as long as nobody knows it's there. Is that what we should do? Not trust the banks? I heard in Canada there was some run on some of the banks because their assets are being frozen, and so people are worried. They're concerned about their money. What should we do as Christians? Should we stockpile food? Well, the Bible talks about there's oil in the dwelling of the wise. So, you know, just not necessarily just in case something really bad happens, but oftentimes we'll store up some food in case the power goes out or what have you. So you'll have to use wisdom on that line, you know, how much food you do or do not put up. But the point is this. Is our trust in our money that we could hide We were just talking recently about this would be back a good many decades ago, but about a person paying for something with wet cash because he buried it and then dug it up to pay for things. Better just remember where it is. Or if you die, no one may know where it is. It's kind of hard with a metal detector to find cash hid in the ground. So what do? Someone can steal our cash. And fact is, you know what? If hard times come, what if we're gone to church? And someone comes in and steals all of our food. What is our hope? Notice with me in Psalm 37. And of course, by the way, you know, when we know Jesus Christ as Savior, we're not going to be here when they're forced to get the mark or the name or the number of his name. So that we don't have to worry about. It's just building up to that point. Psalm 37:25 says, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous, what? Forsaken, nor his seed, what?
Begging bread.
You know, let's not let our hearts be troubled. We have to look to God to meet our needs. And I am not discounting preparations. But ultimately, our trust is in God. He says, he'll not suffer the righteous to be forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Notice with me in Philippians chapter 4. So here's where we need to get our comfort, is from the Word of God. In Philippians 4, verse 19. Philippians 4:19 says, but who? My God shall supply what? All your need. According to what? Are you sure that doesn't say Wall Street? It doesn't, does it? It says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches, where? In glory by Christ Jesus. What a comforting verse. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What if they seize my bank account? Whether they seize my bank account or not, I'm still looking to the Lord. Amen? That's still my trust, is the Lord. Whether my money is worth anything or not. You know, it's kind of like if you're caught at the wrong time, like, what is Confederate money worth when the North wins? Not much. What if our country folds? What if the world converts to Chinese currency or what have you? Well, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Another comforting passage is in Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Now, how much of this we see happen, I don't know. I don't know how much we may see happen leading right up to this point of the Antichrist taking over. But nonetheless, these are principles we need to rest in. Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where what? Your treasure is, there will what? Your heart be also. So our treasure needs to be the Lord. And so what should we do? Well, if you go down a little bit further here in verse 30, Matthew 6:30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So what happens if times get hard? What about when my clothes wear out? What about when my shoes wear out? You remember what God did for the children of Israel for 40 years? What did they do? What did he do? He caused their clothes not to wear out, nor their shoes. God can do that. It's looking to him. So, verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things shall be added unto you. In other words, if we put God first, he knows if my shoes are wearing out. He knows if my clothes are wearing out. He knows that. And so he wants my heart. He wants me to be focused on him, and he'll meet these needs. Verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So in these days, as we see these things happen, God doesn't want us upset. He doesn't want us worrying and fretting. He just wants us to look to him and to put him first. Notice in Philippians chapter 4, once again, some different verses here. Philippians 4 and verse 6. What does God want us to do? Philippians 4, 6, he says, be careful for nothing, but in what? Everything. By what? By prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. So God doesn't want us to be troubled. When it says be careful for nothing, it's that idea about don't be troubled about these things. Just bring these things to God in prayer and be thankful for what we do have. And then verse 7, when we do that, and the what? The peace of God, which what? Passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I came home the other day and backed in the garage, and then I was going to leave shortly. And I had everything thrown in the car, and then I suddenly, my Lord drew my attention to the passenger rear tire was about half flat. And I got down there, and I was hearing, psst, uh-oh. I told my wife, I don't think I told her at that point, but I was wondering what to do. I mean, I had to change the tire, but so I was thinking about, okay, I've never changed the tire on this van before. And so I was thinking, I knew where it was, stuck in the back, but I was wondering how all that was going to go. And then the Lord drew my attention to right behind me was four tires on rims. Brother Len had given me some rims to use. I was going to get some snow tires for the van, and just one thing after another happened, so I never did it this winter. But I looked at there, and I thought, I wonder if there's enough tread on those to get by. And I looked, and yeah, that'll work. So I was just thanking the Lord for drawing my attention to that. And, you know, even in the times when there's frustrating things happen like that, there's so much to be thankful for. And I was just praising the Lord that those tires were right behind me. So, you know, this time is coming. Let's go back in Revelation 13. This time is coming when people are not going to be able to buy or sell without the mark, and that includes everyone. So it's going to be tough for those who do not get the mark. It's going to be hard to find food, clothes, and things like that. So Revelation 13, 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So may God help us in these days. We see these things coming. I'm not trying to depress everyone by having the series of message on the end is coming. God wants people to be prepared. That's why he gave his secret to the prophets. And so in our day, this shouldn't be something where we're just sitting in our homes worried about it. This should be the time when we are asking the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? It's like we saw in Sunday school, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? My time may be short here, so we want to get out the gospel that people might be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you told us these things were coming. And as we see all kinds of things happening in regard to buying and selling, we've seen the mask mandates where some stores wouldn't sell to you unless you wore a mask. We've seen some companies and actually some whole occupational fields where they've said, if you don't get vaccinated, you can't work here, thereby hindering people's ability to buy or sell, to earn money. We've seen other people's bank accounts frozen, their assets seized. And Father, we see that this time is coming, this time of complete control over people's buying and selling. And if they do not cooperate, things are going to get very difficult. And Father, we thank you. You've given us the promise of the rapture, the catching away of the saints, telling us that this evil one, this Antichrist, cannot be revealed until we are gone. But Father, I pray that you would help us to have compassion upon those around us who are not yet saved. For if it happens in our lifetimes, they will be thrust into this terrible time. That if they do not cooperate, they will not be able to buy or sell through normal channels at least. So Lord, in these days, help us not to walk around depressed, but encouraged that your word is true. And Lord, we thank you that you promise that your word will not return into void, but it will accomplish that which you please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto you sent it. So Lord, I pray that you would help us to distribute your word, the gold nuggets of your word that tell people how to be saved, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth through a miraculous virgin birth, thus born without a sin nature, and he lived a perfect life and then died on the cross, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. He was buried and rose again in victory, proving that his blood paid the complete price for our sins. I pray if there should be any here this morning who have never yet been saved, that they would receive Jesus Christ today and help us as Christians to not be discouraged but encouraged that your word is true and that you will take care of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.